Patristic Nectar Publications is pleased to present A Word from the Holy Fathers by His Grace, Bishop Irenae of London and Western Europe. These short meditations reveal the ancient wisdom of the Church Fathers and apply it to 21st century Christian living. And now, His Grace, Bishop Irenae.
It is truly me to bless thee, O Theotokos.
Our focus today is on a man known both as the flute of the Holy Spirit and the harp of the true and blessed faith, the 5th century Syriac writer, Saint Jacob of Sarug.
More honorable than the cherubim, and more glorious beyond compare than the seraphim.
I would like to focus specifically today on a passage in Saint Jacob's reflections on Mary, the Mother of God, and the dialogue she has with the Archangel Gabriel. But before, just a few words about the devotion to the Mother of God evident in Saint Jacob. Writing at a period in the middle and late 5th century, spanning into the early 6th, when the ecumenical confession of Mary as Theotokos, God-bearer, Mother of God, had been firmly established and was growing, in this far eastern region of the Christian realm, Saint Jacob gives us glimpses both of that renewed emphasis, but also of a tender early tradition that, whilst confessing very much that Mary was indeed Mother of the Eternal God, did not yet always know her as Theotokos, as would become systematic shortly thereafter, and was already becoming more systematic in the Greek parts of the Church. Very often we find in Jacob reflections simply on Mary, Mary who bears Christ, who bears God, and is radiant in the light of her own purity. Such is his devotion that he is able to speak in most remarkable terms about her obedience, purity, and the veneration due to her. He writes in his first homily on the Mother of God, "How can I form an image of this most fair one, with ordinary colours whose mixtures are simply not suitable for her? The image of her beauty is more glorious and exalted than my composition. I do not dare let my mind depict the form of her image. Yea, it is easier to depict the sun itself with its light and with its heat than to tell the story of Mary in all its splendor." Saint Jacob of Sarug was born in or around the year 451, the same year in which the great Council of Chalcedon, the 4th Ecumenical Council of the Church, was held, and 20 years after the Council at Ephesus, the 3rd Ecumenical Council, which had canonically approved and insisted upon the ancient title Theotokos, God-bearer, in reference to the Mother of God. However, in the Syriac region of the East, usage of this title was not yet widespread, and so if it may sound a little jarring to Orthodox hearers to listen to the Mother of God referred to again and again simply as Mary, when one is used to hearing Mother of God, Blessed Ever Virgin, etc., we must remember that while this term was embraced by the Church and does become widespread and universal, so that in our day it is, yes, quite unusual simply to refer to her as Mary, in parts of the Christian realm, particularly in this early period, this is the form of tender devotion shown to her. Without title, without encumbrance, one simply has Mary, Christ's mother. St. Jacob of Serug offers a wide-ranging reflection on the person of the Mother of God in a number of homilies. For those who are interested in reading them, St. Vladimir's Seminary Press has produced a handsome little paperback translation simply called Jacob of Serug on the Mother of God, translated by Mary Hansbury. I highly recommend this volume for its beauty and conciseness. In his first homily on the Mother of God, St. Jacob of Serug offers a reflection, a parallelism, between Mary and Eve, on which I would like to focus. Since the second century at least, if not the first, the Church Fathers had been focusing on the Adam-Christ parallelism, to which St. Paul already refers in the Corinthians, and had expanded this in the person of St. Justin Martyr, as St. Irenaeus of Lyon, St. Theophilus of Antioch, to include also a parallelism between Eve and Mary. When St. Jacob comes to reflect on this parallelism, he does so in one unique and beautiful manner, and that is through reflecting on the different responses of these two women to their dialogues with an angelic visitor. In Eve's case, this being an angel of darkness, the serpent in the tree, recounted in Genesis, and in the case of the Mother of God, the archangel Gabriel, who announces to her that she will bear the Son of the Father. In the Syriac tradition, the archangel is often known as the Watcher, and so you will hear him referred to in the text. Writing on the confrontation between the Watcher, Gabriel, and the Mother of God, St. Jacob offers the following. From his first homily, "The Watcher saluted Mary as a pledge of great peace for the whole world. 'Hail Mary, the Lord is with you,' he was saying to her. 'You will conceive and bear a son in your virginity.' She said to him, 'How will this be as you say, since I am a virgin, and there is no fruit of virgins?' At that moment it was necessary to question, so that the mystery of the Son dwelling in her might be explained to her." Now, to interrupt the reading, already St. Jacob reveals something remarkable. All too often, in the modern world, when we hear commentaries on this passage in the Gospel, on St. Mary's response to the archangel's injunction, we hear it presented in terms of a kind of sinful doubt. Does the Mother of God not believe the angel? Is she unwilling to accept? Is she challenging God's messenger? But to St. Jacob, this was a necessary act. As we've just heard him say, at this moment it was necessary to question. And here is where his reading starts to become more insightful. To continue from that homily, "Mary inquired in order that we might learn from the angel concerning that conception, which is a sublime matter beyond understanding. 'Behold how most fair is Mary to the one who beholds her, and how lovable these things of hers to the ones who are capable of discerning.' She inquires that she might learn from him about her conception because it was hers, and also for the profit of the one who listens to her." Here we see St. Jacob reflecting precisely on the beauty of her questioning. It is most fair that she should ask the angel so that she might learn, he says, both for her own benefit, but also for the benefit of those who hear about her. And it is here that St. Jacob starts to draw his creative parallelism with Eve in the garden. Carrying on from the homily, "Eve, however, had not questioned the serpent when he led her astray, she who by her will kept silent and firmly believed the treachery. The latter maiden, Mary, heard truth from the faithful one. Nevertheless, in this way she sought an explanation. But the former, Eve, heard of becoming a goddess from a tree, and did not say, How will what you mention ever come to be? The watcher told this one, Mary, that she would conceive the Son of God, but she did not accept it until she was well informed. That she in her person would ascend the divine rank, the virgin wife of Adam did not doubt when the liar spoke. But to Mary, this one, who would bear the Son of God, it was told, but she inquired, sought, investigated, learned, and then kept silent. See how much more beautiful is the latter than the former. Because of her beauty, the Lord chose her and made her his mother. It was easy for her to keep silence, and also easy for her to ask questions. And by her discernment, she learned the truth from the angel. That key passage from St. Jacob comes from his first homily on the Mother of God, stanzas 629 through 630. This is a remarkable reflection on the nature of the Mother of God's questioning of the archangel. Unlike Eve, our first mother, the wife of Adam, who received falsehood ignorantly and accepted it unhesitatingly, whether by immaturity or by a deliberate act of will, Eve received into herself falsehood as truth. Unquestioningly, she received the serpent's falsehood and lie. But in the person of the Mother of God, we have a different image. The archangel appears and announces what is at the end of the day an even greater mystery, an even greater wonder than that promised to Eve by the serpent. The serpent had promised that Eve would be like God. But the watcher, the archangel, announces to Mary, the Mother of God, that she will bear God in herself. What a more marvelous wonder! And the Mother of God's response is not simply to accept these words unhesitatingly, but to learn, as St. Jacob classifies it. She asks questions, engages in a communion of dialogue, so that she is able to discern the truth of the angel's words. It is a well-known feature of the ascetical writings of the Church Fathers that discernment is a necessary step in spiritual growth, a necessary aspect of the whole spiritual life. The ability to see truth as truth, to discern falsehood for what it is. And in St. Jacob's reflections on the Mother of God in dialogue with the archangel, we see discernment exemplified in her person. It is not out of a sinful doubt, out of an arrogant disbelief or a simple lack of faith that Mary questions the archangel. Rather, it is to discern truth as such. Unwilling was this one to be deceived by another false angel, as had been Eve so long before. To discern the truth of the matter, she asks, engages, and in every way enters into a living communion with the self-revelation of God. She, in the words of St. Jacob, inquires, sought, investigated, learned, and by these things discerns the angel's truth. But, and this a critical point, at the pinnacle of that ascent of discernment, of learning, the Mother of God kept silent. After she had asked and inquired and learned the truth, it was in her silence that this truth was most fully known. As we have recorded for us in the Gospels, she treasured these things in her heart. As we engage in the process of discerning God's truth, there is an ascent of knowledge, of question, of dialogue, but at its peak, at the highest point, is the humility of a quieted mind and a peaceful heart that receives the words of God and treasures them as the Mother of God treasured in her heart the words of the Holy Watcher. What a remarkable parallelism St. Jacob has drawn between the Mother of God and the mother of the human race, Eve. When we read this homily, when we hear the words of this saint, we are reminded that a life of true faith, a life of true obedience, is one that does not simply erase the mind and the will, but allows it, and indeed needs it, to enter into a living dialogue with Christ, a dialogue which at its peak is silent communion, entering into the fullness of the divine life. It is this that in the Mother of God is so beautifully imaged, beautifully exemplified, that allows St. Jacob to cry out with such devotion that the mysteries bound up in her are greater than those of the sun and the sky. This the testimony of our Holy Father St. Jacob of Serug, flute of the Holy Spirit and harp of the true and blessed faith. Through the prayers of our holy fathers, Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen. Before we go, a brief word on the music heard at the beginning of this week's broadcast. The hymn to the Mother of God, Axion Estin, It is Truly Meet and Right, was taken from a recording produced by the Monastery of St. John of Shanghai and San Francisco in Manton, California. It is a great joy to call this monastery to mind at this time, as its former abbot, Archimandrite Jonah, was on the 1st of November consecrated to the Holy Episcopate as Bishop of Fort Worth in the Orthodox Church in America, and then only 11 days later, consecrated Metropolitan of Washington and All America for the OCA. May God grant his newly consecrated Metropolitan many years of devoted and faithful service to his church.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to A Word from the Holy Fathers by His Grace Bishop Irenae of London and Western Europe, offered to you by Patristic Nectar Publications, nourishing the spiritually thirsty with the sweet teachings of the Holy Fathers.